Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Well, hello, 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 and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. This is episode 47, and it's your girl, your dark, sweet, Berry Dakara. Okay, I need to stop doing that. All right, I'm going to stop. Listen, you guys, I love every single one of you. I just love you so much. The feedback that I've been getting from last week's episode, from episode 46, has been incredible. Not just the episode itself, you know, with my conversation with Yesterday, but you guys love, you know, my other character, the dark sweets, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter the... You guys love that. And listen, I just did it out of from nowhere, just off the cuff. I was just playing around, but you guys really like that. So, hey, if you guys are happy, if I'm entertaining you, then I'm happy. I won't take too much of your time today, but let's get into this second part of the conversation about sex and the African mother. Again, my guest is Yesterday, and she is the founder of Olori Coitus. She is a sex coach, sex therapist, sex expert, sex everything. And she also runs an outfit for luxury waist beads. It's called Ilekedi. And I'm going to leave the discount at the end of the episode if you guys are interested in getting waist beads or other body jewelry. She also caters to men as well. So if you have a guy that likes beaded jewelry, you can also order stuff for him. So let's get into this part two of our episode. And in this this second part of our conversation, Yesterday answers questions directly from the audience. It's not just me asking her. These are questions that you guys sent to me almost 2 months ago. And she was gracious enough to come back for part two to answer those questions specifically. So sit back, relax, and maybe even get a drink too. And if you have a partner, yes, please. Ladies, if you are listening and you have a partner, your partner needs to sit down next to you and listen to this episode, because he gonna learn some things, okay? And you too, you gonna learn some things, okay? We are trying to get you guys to have better, more pleasurable, more fulfilling, more everything, sex. Come on, guys. Make sure you listen to this episode and enjoy yourselves thoroughly. And also take everything that Yesterday says to your bedroom or to the car or the kitchen, wherever it is that you want to hook up with your partner. Take everything and put them into practice. And I almost want to guarantee you guys, you know, the best sex ever. But let me not guarantee. Before people go and somebody go and make a lawsuit against Berry Dakara, Mommy Oyoyo. Mommy Oyoyo, she guaranteed me that I'll have better sex for the rest of my life, and I didn't. Please, I was not there. I didn't say that. But if you guys listen to her advice and put it into practice, I feel like you definitely should do better in the bedroom with your partner. All right, I'm going to stop talking now. Enjoy. All right. Hi, Yesterday.
Hi, Berry.
How are you?
I am great. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. Thank you so much for coming back for part two of our conversation. Everybody's so excited.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. We're just going to go right in. Anyone who wants to find out about Yesterday should listen to part one of this conversation, which is the previous episode, episode 46. Well, I tell you more about Yesterday in that episode.
But in today's episode, she's just come back to answer audience questions about sex and motherhood for the African woman. So, number one, and these are audience questions, if I didn't mention that. Number one, yesterday,
Yes,
what
Mary.
is a good time frame for a good sex session? Because all of these movies, we're not talking blue film here, we're just talking like Hollywood movies, make
Have
it.
not heard blue film in years. The term blue film. Yes. Go ahead.
I don't know what blue film is. Can't look it up.
Make
Anyway,
sure to find it on the internet.
I'm not even sure. Well, blue film is pornography. So movies make it seem like they're doing it for 2 hours, and that's just not realistic. So what's a good time frame for a good sex session?
Honestly, there's no rule. A good sex session is what you make of it. The timing is what you make of it. Sometimes it's a 5-minute session, sometimes it's a 1-hour session, sometimes it's a 2-hour session. But the most important thing is, I always say that pleasure is the measure. Actually, I didn't come up with that. Emily Nagoski came up with that. But pleasure is the measure. So if you get pleasure from a 2-minute session or a 5-minute session, then there's no problem. There's nobody sitting in your bedroom measuring how long, like setting the timer and saying how long. And I also think that we tend to overestimate how long we spend having sex. Like, just for anyone in the audience, right? The next time you're having sex, just take a look at the time. And then take a look at the time when you're done. And you'll be shocked at how short it is. The average length of time for penetration, that's from of like a sex intercourse, from when the penis enters the vagina to ejaculation is about 6 minutes. Now, of course, that takes away things like, sex play. I don't like to use the word foreplay because it makes it sound like you've not gotten to the main event. But sex also includes things like the kissing, the sucking, the rubbing, the oral sex play, the fingering, hands, all of that, the sensual massage, all of the things that are included in your sexual activity. So that could take a long time, or that could also be short. And sometimes you can have a long session today, and tomorrow you just want a really short quickie.
Okay, so as long as you're getting pleasure and giving pleasure, that should be the measure.
That it should be the measure.
All right, thank you very much. The second question that we have from the audience was, see, my list is trying to disappear. All right, found it. How do you get yourself in the mood when having sex is the last thing on your mind?
Well, I think I don't want to say that you should just, first of all, find out why sex is the last thing on your mind, because it's important for you to know why. Is it because you're not interested in having sex with that person? Or is it because there are external stressors that are causing it? Are there stressors in your relationship that are causing you to not want to have sex? Do you see how this could be attacked from different ways or approached from different ways, as opposed to just saying that sex is the last thing on my mind? So you want to fix the sex. You not wanting to have sex is a reflection of other things that are going on. So if it's a question of, I am really, really tired and I don't want to, then maybe you can look at times that are where you're not so tired. So instead of maybe having sex at night, you can reframe that and have sex during the morning, like super early. You and I were having a conversation about how some women will get up like much earlier than their husbands and their children, just so they can have time for themselves. You can also set that time to say, okay, you know what, I would like to have we can have sex earlier when my mind is still calm and open. Then another thing is also like realizing that not all desire is spontaneous. There are a lot of people who, more women actually, who don't have a spontaneous desire. They have more of a responsive desire where a physical stimulus is what will actually get them to start mentally wanting sex. So if you know that with your partner, right, they're not, you're not someone that is like turned on, like you don't think about sex and you're immediately turned on, but you also know that like in the process of the sexual activity, you start to think, oh, this is really great. Oh, I'm really enjoying this. I'm really liking this. Then whenever your partner wants to initiate sex, or whenever you're thinking, oh, I'm not in the mood, think about how much fun and how pleasurable and how great it is, or how great it's going to be. And that can get you in the mood. And of course, there's the, you know, the normal things like setting the mood, taking a bath, taking a nice luxurious bath, you know, get some nice scented oils and lotions, rub it, you know, just massage yourself, or you can even have your partner massage you, turn on some music, you know, just take away the external stressors. Those are, you know, the cliche normal things to do. But really, I think mentally is the first thing we need to work on.
Thank you for that. For any men that are listening that want to complain in quotes that, oh, my wife doesn't want to have sex whenever I want to, give her a massage first. Just say, baby, let me just give you a massage.
And I think even sometimes women are overwhelmed with so much. You know, we're multitaskers. So we're taking on work, external work. And even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you do so much work all through the day that when sex is brought to the table, you're like, excuse me, you know. So it's really important, I find in my work, that men who are more engaged in household activities tend to have better sex or more sex, because their wives do not feel that they're carrying the entire brunt of the household chores. And I mean, in a time like COVID, where a lot of us are working from home, you know, we were under lockdown, and a lot of our jobs have really transitioned to either a full-time working from home, or even if it's on a alternate basis, the men really need to step up and take responsibility for doing things around the house, taking care of the kids, doing other things, so that she is not as stressed. And then, you know, then you're developing that intimacy within yourself, and there's less resentment, and you will find that even she will be more willing to initiate sexual activity.
Girl, you are preaching. You Amen. Are preaching.
Amen.
This episode is not just for women, it's also for men. I'm going to tell all my guy friends, not that they're having bad sex or anything, but just, you know, you just might need some extra encouragement. Please, if you want to have sex, go and mop.
I love that.
All right. The third question is, I went to a women's event and one of the speakers said in her 17 years of marriage, she's never said no to her husband's sexual advances. She said over time, if there's adequate communication, the woman will enjoy it more, initiate sex more, and the relationship becomes stronger. So, any thoughts on never ever saying no to your husband's sexual advances, and also on the second bit about communication and all of that?
I do have to say that I agree with her to a certain degree. I think using the word never saying no is a bit extreme, but I believe that where she's going, or what my understanding of it is, when you're in a relationship, one person usually tends to have a higher desire for sex, and so the second partner may have a not as high desire. So there's this desire discrepancy. But the person who holds the power of your sexual activity is the person who has the lower drive, right? Not necessarily drive, but like their desire is not as high for sex, because they are the one with the power to say yes or no. The other partner is usually more willing. But if you are the partner who says, who is with the lower desire, you don't always want to say no, because a lot of times you're not really saying no. You're saying no based on how you feel right now. Like, I don't feel like having sex. But remember what I said earlier, that many people, especially a lot of women, have a responsive desire. So the desire to have sex comes from, you know, using and intentionally using like physical, sexual, or mental stimulus to get you in the mood, right? Like the kissing, the massage, and all of that. So if you are saying no all the time. You also have to understand that the person who's asking for sex is putting themselves out there and is asking you and requesting for an emotional and physical connection with you. And it's very easy for that person to take it as a rejection of themselves, as opposed to a rejection of physical intimacy at that point. I don't know if that makes sense. So if you are the partner, which is usually the wife, if you keep saying no all the time, they're going to see it as a rejection. So think about the pleasure. And I mean, of course, content has to be enthusiastic. Like, you definitely need, there's a big difference between like, I absolutely do not want to, and, oh, maybe I just need a little bit of a nudge, a little bit of, stimulus to get me in the mood. So I think what she's going with is, don't say no, figure out how to say yes. Or say, as opposed to saying no, like for me, this is how it works for me. I can say, look, I don't really want to have sex tonight. I'm super tired. My head hurts. My shoulders are hurting. I've been beating all day. I think if I had a massage, I may be more. Say what it is that you need to get you there, as opposed to just no. So I think that's what it is for me. But definitely saying that never, that's a big one. There are a lot of reasons why you may not want to have sex, even when you love your partner. And sometimes it might be that you just don't want penetration. So bring something else to the table. Hey, look, can we just have oral sex? Can I give you head? Would you like to just give me head? Can we just kiss and cuddle tonight? Is it okay if, you just gave me a massage and I give you a massage as well? Don't just say no. Give other options. And some days it's literally just no. And that is okay as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Number four. Do you agree that after women get married and have children, most of them stop buying sexy underwear and putting in the work to look sexy?
I don't like generalizations. I really do not like generalizations, because I believe that has anyone done adequate research to say that most women do this? Yes, there are a lot of women who stop putting in the physical effort to look sexy. And that's because they're just like, guy, take me as I am. And of course, this is on the women as well. You cannot have that see finish mentality where you did all these things to attract the man, to bring him on, and then now that he's in, you're like, Shebi, he's already here. I don't have to stress. The truth is, relationships are constant effort. And effort is not a bad thing. I think a lot of times the reason why people look at it like, oh, I beg, I'm tired, though. After taking care of all these kids, you now want me to dress sexy, is because you're not thinking of sex as something that is pleasurable to you. You're thinking of it as something that you're doing to keep your man so that he either doesn't go out to look for more with somebody else, or this is what society and culture has told you that you have to do. But if you're putting on lingerie because it makes you feel fantastic, it makes you feel sensual, it makes you feel sexy, it connects you to your feminine energy. It's the same way with, the waist beads that I make and wear. It's not really about him. It's about me. It's about how I feel. It's about my connection to my, my feminine power, my feminine sensuality, my feminine spirit, and how that makes me feel, which I then exude and share that sensuality with my partner. That's a by the way. So when you look at, lingerie and all these things we do as self-care, as opposed to I'm doing it for him, then you're more likely to do it. And it'll just be like icing on top for him to appreciate it and for him to be attracted by it.
I remember having a conversation with my girls about this particular point, like the sexy underwear and everything. And I remember when I was in my 20s, I loved going to Victoria's Secret. I absolutely loved it. Going to Victoria's Secret, going buying lingerie at La Senza, because of how it made me feel. right? It wasn't about, I mean, yes, I got a kick of, you know, guys like it, but it was really, but for me, it was more about, listen, I feel sexy, I feel really confident when I wear stuff like this, like, it wasn't about the other person. And then, was it last month or 2 months ago? I can't remember what I was doing. I think maybe around this conversation again. I just remember I was like, man, in my 20s, I used to. I was a sexy being. Like, I was a sexy beast. Like, where have I gone to? You know?
Where is that, Barry?
So listen, I went on Victoria's Secret. They were having their semi-annual sale. And I've just decided that, you know what? I like lace. So I'm just going to get the lacy underwear. And black as well, so that I can be matching, because the matching factor too is like very, very nice to me in my head. Okay. And it's just a way for me to reclaim my sexy, for me to reclaim my feminine energy, because at some point I feel like I've lost that.
And it happens to a lot of us, especially when you become a mom, you know, and when you go through that pregnancy journey, or even if you adopted a baby, you have that child, you're raising that child, you're pouring all of yourself into, you know, just making sure that this kid is the best they can be. And it, you can easily forget about you and forget about the things that just bring you joy, which is why, like, you know, with Ilekedi and the waist beads that we make at Ilekedi, it's always like, you know, just tap into your feminine spirit, just tap into you. You know, how does it make you feel? Like, you know, you walk around, imagine, you know, you get your underwear, you walk by the mirror and you just see yourself and you're like, oh girl, you bad. Nobody has to tell you. You will tell yourself. And it's that you're sending yourself those cues. And what usually happens is those cues are things men pick up on. And so they see this woman and they're like, she's so central. She's so attractive. And it's not a physical attraction, you know, but there's something about the energy that you exude, you know, the way in which you carry yourself, the confidence in which you carry yourself, that it will be attracted to men and women, you know, like anybody will be attracted. And so your man will be like, oh my God, they will always want to be with you. And that's really powerful. So we should never lose that.
I 100% agree. And for the audience that's listening, the underwear that you find sexy is, of course, relative. I know some women who like, you know, fuller underwear. I like cheekies. Hipsters and cheekies. And so every now and then a thong here and there. But some other women find, you know, just like the simple cotton underwear to be very feminine and, you know, sexy and everything. So do you. Don't say, oh, Barry said you should buy fleecy underwear. No, if you don't feel comfortable in it, please don't buy it.
No, just you know, just make yourself happy.
Exactly.
You know, make yourself happy. And if, you know, your underwear is going to pits, you know, you've had it for a few months, a year, the thread is starting to come out, all of that, sis. Don't be like, nobody's seen it, you know, change that underwear. Feel free to change it, you know. You don't have to buy Victoria's Secret. Literally, I mean, there are so many other retailers. If you're in the U, like in the US, there's Target, there's, girl, you go around, you know, go to different stores, TJ Maxx. In Nigeria, there's so many like lingerie companies as well, you know, and you can try them out, try a bunch of them. Just look around. And I think the internet has made it such, it has democratized this whole thing to the point where you can find, you know, whatever your pocket is able to afford, you can find it. Go on Amazon, go on Jumia, go on Konga, find, you know, and you know that, okay, this is one I can buy and it looks good. Underwear is not supposed to last for like six months, 8 months, 10 years. If you're wearing it like repeatedly, it will start to give way. And when it starts to give way, sis, please just retire. It is okay. It's fine.
Duly noted. No. Listen, this is embarrassing. But even my mom said to me once, I feel like, seriously, you need to go and find your underwear. Like, what is this?
No,
mom is 60.
Mom is not playing.
I wanted to enter the ground that day. I'm like, wow, okay. She has called me out. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the next question. My last child is 8 months old and I'm still breastfeeding, but my husband said he hates the smell of breast milk. So even though I've been willing to, we've only had sex 3 times in the last 4 months. I'm a bit offended because I have to feed our child, but still, is there something that I can do?
So I don't think, what I've heard in the past is that, you know, when breast milk, like if you breastfed a baby, and then a lot of women, there's some women who don't necessarily wipe up after they've breastfed. So, you know, some of the breast milk will stay like on your breast and like in your chest area. But if you don't wipe up, you know, just take like a warm, like a damp cloth to just wipe your breast area, or just take like baby wipes even to wipe up that smell throughout the day, like, you know, with your breast pad or in your bra, that smell can get like really concentrated. And I'm thinking that that might be the smell he might be referring to, because generally, like, if you smell breast milk, like fresh breast milk, or like a breast that's breastfeeding, you don't necessarily get that like heavy breast milk scent. So if you're having that and your husband is complaining, then, and you want to have sex, why don't you take a shower? So you take a shower, you know, put on some scented oils, and then approach him. I'm sure he won't say no.
Thank you. I'm sure she'll be very happy to hear that answer.
I think a lot of times like when somebody says, for example, if you have a partner who says, look, I can't kiss you first thing in the morning, like I can't deal with morning breath, it's not a rejection of you. He's not saying that he doesn't want to kiss you. He's saying that he cannot kiss you with morning breath. And that's his preference. And it's not something that will kill you to brush. Do you understand? We tend to take a lot of things really personally. Like, you know, you're a guy, you want her to give you head, and she says, man, like your balls are a bit smelly, babe. I can't give you head unless you take a shower. She's not rejecting you. She's telling you what you need to do for her to give you what you want. So don't take it as, oh, she said I'm dirty or smelly. No, she's telling you that your balls are smelly. Go wash your balls and come back. You know? So we need to not take things really personally, because, I mean, I'm going to assume that you and your partner are in a loving relationship and, you know, you guys are fine in other ways. So if it means you taking a shower before you approach him for sex, then do that.
Thank you for that, Yesidane. The sixth question, so there's just 3 more questions left. The sixth question is, how do I, as a busy mom, make time for sex?
I think you make time for whatever it is that's important to you. If sex is important to you, you make time for it. If you look at sex as a physical expression of the intimacy that is so important to you and your partner, then you will make time for it. It doesn't have, you might just need to reframe your mindset around sex, about when you should have sex or where you should have sex or how long you should have sex. A lot of times you think that you need a full hour or an hour and a half break to be able to, you know, sufficiently have sex, but you don't. Especially when you have young kids and when you have a really busy schedule, sometimes quickies might be the way to go for now, you know. And sometimes, I think I mentioned earlier in the episode that you can have sex in the mornings, or just, you know, rearrange your schedules. Sometimes it means, you know, you're really tired at the end of the day, and so you sleep, and then you wake up in the middle of the night and get it on. Whatever it is you have to do, you know, to keep that connection going, because I think that it's so important to not lose that connection, especially when you have it and you have a good one. Keep it, you know, but also understand that there are different seasons in life. Sometimes you might be in a season where you are able to have sex every day, twice a day, 3 times a day. And then in another season of your life, you know, you're having sex once a week, once every 2 weeks. As your relationship grows and matures, the frenzy for that physical sexual intimacy all the time will tend to come down a bit, and it will go up. You know, it's a cycle. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. But when you're in a relationship where your attachment is secure, then you understand that us not having sex for 2 weeks, even though we're sleeping in the same bed, might not be an indication of a problem. It could just be a season. And then you might go from that into like a season where you're having sex like rabbits. So it's okay to understand the season you're in. You're a busy mom. You know, there's a lot going on. You might not be able to have the kind of sex you would be having when you weren't as busy. But then maybe, you know, try other types of sex, or try, or the, you know, reframe what great sex is for you. Don't just be stuck in one kind of sex. That's what I have to say.
Okay. Piggybacking off of that, it's not part of the question, but do you think it's okay to schedule sex?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Sorry, before you continue. Sounded very orgasmic. Let's continue.
Well, sorry. Apologies to the audience.
No apologies, please, Joe. What's that?
Definitely, Berry. Scheduling sex is amazing. The thing is, a lot of us do it anyway. We just don't do it formally. Meaning, you have thoughts to yourself that, you know what, today, this night, I am having sex. We are having sex. Do you get what I mean? Sometimes, like, maybe you and your partner are heading out for work. You have a kiss here and there. Maybe you know, you fool around a little bit. And you're like, okay, I gotta go. Don't worry, I'll see you tonight. We got you. Haven't you scheduled sex? You have. You've put it on the schedule. And for the rest of the day, what happens is you're thinking about that wonderful, great sex you're going to have. You're looking forward to it. No matter how annoying your coworkers or your manager gets at work, you're just going to be like, okay, no worries. I'm going to get something tonight. So when you put sex on the schedule, what you're doing is you're prioritizing it. You're making it a priority. And so your brain is bringing it up, as opposed to sex being the last thing on your plate. It's the top of your plate. So whatever it is you're going to be doing throughout the day, you're going to make sure that you're not so exhausted that you're not able to have sex. Does that make sense? And when, especially it works for like when someone is not in, you know, you have someone who has more of a responsive desire, who usually is like, I'm not in the mood. When you see it pop up on your calendar, so you guys have sat down and you've agreed, okay, we're going to have sex 3 times this week. We're going to have sex 2 times this week. We're going to have sex 4 times this week, or we're going to have sex 4 times this month. Whatever it is you have decided, because it's up to the two of you to make that decision, you have said it, right? But when you agree to it, please understand that you should stick to it. So don't say, oh, okay, we've agreed to have sex on Saturday evening, and then Saturday evening comes and you're like, can we do it? Can we move it to Monday? Don't do that. As much as possible. Of course, there are sometimes that things will come up and you have no control over that, but as much as possible, try to stick to the schedule, because your partner has been looking forward to it as well. So you have this thing that you're looking forward to. It means that you can plan ahead, plan your outfit, plan what you're going to do. Are you going to get some scented oils to give a sensual massage? Are you going to get that candle that, you know, that really gets you in the mood? What songs are you going to play? Are you going to make sure that, because maybe you have like little kids, maybe it means that you're going to arrange for childcare at that time, you know? Whatever it is, put it on your schedule and make it a priority.
Thank you. The next question, which is second to the last question, is, I feel like I can't really be free sexually like I used to be since I had children. As in, I like to scream, talk dirty, etc. But now I feel like my children will hear me, and I'm just not allowed to have the kind of spicy sex I like anymore. What can I do to bring back that spicy hot sex?
I promise you that a lot of the issues we have as human beings is our mindset. This person has crystallized that hot, spicy sex is loud, blow the roof off sex. Is it possible for you to reframe that thought and have hot, spicy sex where you and your partner even make it a, you make it a game whereby we can shout. The person that makes noise first has to perform a sexual act for the other partner. Do you see how you've made it spicy and hot, even though you're not shouting? I understand that, you know, sometimes you want to speak dirty, you can talk dirty. Just whisper the dirty nuttins into his ear. You know? I mean, again, this is a season. You cannot make noise. I mean, you could if you want, if you're fine with it, but it sounds to me that you're not fine with your kids hearing you having sex. So what can you do? Are you telling me that you can't have great sex where you're not shouting? Maybe. Otherwise, you know, turn on the music, make the music super, super, super loud, such that your voice, you know, is drowned in the music. But again, if you need to also, you know, arrange for childcare, and I understand that maybe, you know, that's what gets you off. You really want to make noise. So why don't you and your husband say, okay, when the kids are at school, when the kids are at daycare, when I'm going to take the kids to my mom's house for a couple of hours, and then we go home and have some very loud sex, if this is what's important to you. So just find ways around it. I think a lot of times it's very easy to look at the reasons why we can't, as opposed to looking for ways of how to.
I would also suggest maybe going to the car. Car sex is fun.
Car sex is fun. It also means that there's somebody to be watching the kids while you're in the car.
I mean, if they're sleeping and you want to be loud,
that too. But make sure you're in a place where you're not going to be caught. Like, it's not like your car is parked on the main road.
And girl, some people don't like that voyeuristic, this thing like that. They don't know how, but some people like that.
Look, it could be, right? But my thing is just make sure that it's not going to be a situation where, like, the police is going to catch you or there's going to be a whole situation about that, you know?
Right. Sex is not so important that you should be arrested, please.
Exactly, because the police can get you for indecent exposure.
Ah, then what will happen to your children?
So just, you know, make sure, like, your car is super tinted or you're parked, like, on the side of the road that is... That is really deserted, or you're in your compound, you're in your own driveway, you know, just, I mean, get creative.
Yeah. Well, really find another room in the house, like on another floor, if you have them, different floors.
There's so many, honestly, there's so many things. There's so many ways you can, if your kids are not light sleepers, if your kids sleep pretty deep, then you can definitely, you know, go to town when they're asleep.
Final question from the audience. Can you recommend any lubricants that I can use? Also edible ones, because my husband doesn't understand why I can't or just don't get as wet as before.
So I wouldn't recommend you using any edible lubricants in your vagina, because a lot of women, the vagina is really sensitive and the pH is sensitive. So I would say don't necessarily use an edible. You can use it for oral sex play, for example, putting it on his penis to give you know, oral sex and things like that, but I wouldn't necessarily say use edible, because some of the things that are part of it could, you know, mess with your pH. It could lead to UTIs or yeast infections and things like that, and you don't really want that. But some women will tell you that they use them, edible and flavored lubricants, all the time, and they're fine. But again, that's up to you. In terms of brands of lubricants, it would really depend on where you are. But some great brands are, you know, Durex, there's Sliquid, there's Uber Lube, there's KY is the most common lubricant. that I think here in Nigeria and in the US and around the world, really. But there are a lot of other options. What I always say is, as opposed to looking for a brand in particular, I always say look for one of two things. If you, water-based lubricants are the most common types of lubricants. They mimic the lubrication of the vagina, but they also dry quickly. They dry quicker, just the same way water would. So, but those are the most common ones you'll find. KY is a water-based lubricant. Durex makes a lot of water-based lubricants. Sliquid, I believe Sliquid is silicone-based. But then there are silicone-based. Silicone-based lubricants are great because they are made with silicone, which is not, is hypoallergenic. Some people have a bit of a reaction to water-based lubricants because of the glycerin in them. But silicone, it's more hypoallergenic. It's a little bit more expensive, but a little bit of it goes a long way. You know, you put a little bit inside the vagina, a little bit on the outside, and you put a little bit on his penis, and you can go to town, and it lasts for a really long time. Like, you don't have to reapply the way you would with a water-based lubricant. You just want to be careful if you're having sex on like a tile floor or on in the bathroom or like a wooden surface, because it's really slippery, very, very, very slippery.
Oh, wow. And
you don't want to have, which is great for sex, but right, you obviously don't want any to get on the floor and then you slip and slide on it. So just be careful with that. But if you're having sex like on a bed, on a couch or anything like that, then you should be good. And a little bit goes a very long way. Some brands of silicone lube are, Wet makes a really, really good brand, makes a really, really good silicone lube. It comes in this black bottle. Uber Lube makes a really great silicone lube as well. I don't know if you can find Uber Lube in stores, but you can definitely find it like online. Durex makes a great one as well. I think it's called, it's Durex Play. I think Play is the name of all the Durex brand, all the Durex lubricants, but there's a particular one that's silicone. It has no scent. It has nothing else added, and that's one great thing about silicone lube. So I always, silicone lubes are my personal favorite, but a lot of people use water-based lube. What I would say is the third kind of lube are oil-based lubes, which some people use like coconut oil, olive oil, and some other oil-based lubes that are sold commercially. You want to be careful with oil-based lubes if you are using a latex condom, because the oil can break down the latex, and that can cause the condom to break, rupture, or burst during sexual activity. But oil-based lubes, there are people who prefer like a more natural product, and so oil-based lubes are great, especially you know, people say they use coconut oil, they use olive oil, but I just always say make sure you're getting something that is food grade, that is as pure as possible, you know, because you don't want anything that coconut oil can go bad, and you don't want anything that will throw off your pH or lead you to having like some type of infection or something. So just be careful with that. But you can definitely use coconut oil or olive oil or other oil-based lubricants. And the great thing about the oil-based lubricants is they can double as massage oils as well. But make sure you're not using something that's scented, you know, in the vagina. But the scented ones you can definitely use like all over the body for like sensual massage and things like that. So yes, please just have an array. Like if you're sexually active, you have, you know, you and your partner can, you know, go to the store, go online and look for different types of lubricants. So you have like a stash, you know, depending on your mood. Do we want, you know, some strawberry flavored lube because I want to give you head tonight? Do we want to get something that is, you know, like oud flavored massage oils? Do we want to get, you know, like the silicone based lube tonight because we're just going to go, you know, that it's going to be a long session? You know, do we want to do a water based lube? Just get a bunch of them and then use them as the inspiration kits.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Yesterday. This has been an awesome, awesome, awesome time as usual. I'm sad that this is over.
This was great. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Very excited.
Pleasure. And guys, this is all about your own pleasure too. So guys, enjoy, enjoy.
And, you know, I told you earlier that please just be on notice because I'm starting a podcast and you are going to be one of my guests. So,
yeah.
Bye.
Yes, to podcasting. Yes, to guest podcasting too. Awesome. And also, yesterday has mentioned several times her race beads that she creates. It's called Ilekedi. That's the brand. And it's ilekedi.com, right?
Yes, ilekedi.com. ilekedi.com.
Yeah, and it's going to be in the show notes as well. And thing is, right now, I'm in a no-spend month in August. So I'm not spending any money this month. But come September 1st, I'm going to be ordering something because...
We ship internationally. We ship all across the world. So wherever you are, we got you.
Yeah, I got Trajan
coming out. Hi,
Coco. Coco, say hi.
Hey.
She's up there.
She just woke up. This is why I wake up early to record these episodes, because my dad will wake up and start talking to me and talking about iPad and Coco, apple juice.
It's the life of a working mom. You got to do what you got to do.
iPad and what?
Okay, we're going to watch the iPad in 2 seconds. Let me just say bye to Auntie Yesterday, okay? So y'all need to follow Yesterday at Olori Coitus.
Mommy, put your medicine down.
Sorry. So follow Yesterday at Olori Coitus, and also, is it at Ilekedi?
Yes, at Ilekedi as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you again so much for the two-part conversation. I've learned so much. I should say, single women, if you listen to this episode first, we talked about the single woman and sex in part one. So don't feel left out of the conversation. There's we talked extensively about single motherhood and sex in part one of this conversation. So listen to the last one, okay? Yesterday, thank you again so much, everyone. I hope you enjoyed these conversations. Definitely share with your friends, and please check out Olori Coitus, check out Ilekedi as well, and let us boost your sexual pleasure for the rest of your life.
yes, thank you very. Have a good Saturday.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our two-part conversation that we've had with Yesterday of Olori Coitus. I hope that you guys enjoyed the two episodes as much as I have. I really enjoyed speaking with Yesterday. She's a wealth of information. She's a gem. She's just awesome like that. And I'm so glad that she has chosen to give the Mommy Oyoyo audience 10% off your purchase of the Ilekedi waist beads and body jewelry for women and men as well. If you go to the show notes, there's a link where you can click on. It's www.ilekedi.com/discount/mommyoyoyo. If you click on that link, then you'll get 10% off your order. Again, Ilekedi is your plug for luxury waist beads and body jewelry for women. And she also has products like bracelets for men, and I think maybe necklaces for men as well. So listen, she caters to both men and women. And I think for the women especially, like, I definitely plan to order some waist beads because I just think it's very sensual. I think that it's sexy. And I'm not getting it for any man. I mean, hey, I don't have a man right now. But I know that women really like to wear them for their own pleasure. And just go ahead and click on the link in the show notes. Or go directly to www.ilekedi.com/discount/mommyoyoyo. Thank you again for listening. And I hope to see you guys next time on the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. God bless. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo, Mommy Oyoyo. See you next time.